Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Cindy Yu and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Katie Balls. So, Boris is in Scotland on a tour of the Union this week. Katie, what's going on there?
Boris Johnson is visiting Scotland today, and the aim here is to show that he is someone who wants to protect the Union. Throughout the leadership campaign and just in general, lots of Boris Johnson's critics like to argue that his Brexit plans, which mean we could leave the UK without a deal, put the Union at risk. Mm. And you hear from the SNP, you hear probably in a less direct manner from Leo Varadkar in the Republic of Ireland that a no-deal Brexit threatens the Union because Scotland would push for an independence referendum. There's some talk that it could even lead to a reunification poll in Ireland. So I think the aim here really is to show that he is a unionist. If you look at Boris Johnson's dude strategy, it's about delivering Brexit, was point one, and point two is uniting the country.
Yeah.
And I think this feeds into that. Now, in Scotland, he has a particular problem, I would say. He doesn't poll very well there, and you could say it's specific polls, but just to put some context there, I think there was a poll about a month ago which showed that Nigel Farage and the Brexit Party is more popular than Boris Johnson in Scotland.
Wow.
And Nigel Farage is not seen as being popular in Scotland. But it's partly, I think, if you speak to Scottish Conservative MPs, they don't think it's just his Brexit plans. They think his hard Brexit, if you want to call it that, isn't something which is in chime with the rest of the Scottish Conservatives, at least. And also they think that his manner, his old Etonian joker personality isn't something that translates particularly well. Now, when it comes to his Brexit plans, when it comes to the Scottish Conservative MPs, he does have a few backers, the new Scottish Secretary, Alistair Jack and others. But in general, I think there is a lot of worry amongst Scottish Conservatives over what a Boris Johnson government means for their electability and also the future of the Union.
And James, I think it's fair to say that it's not only some Scottish voters who don't like Boris Johnson. Ruth Davison, the leader of the Scottish Tories, is also not quite a fan.
Ruth Davison and Boris Johnson always, in some ways, they are perhaps too similar. They both have this popularity that goes beyond that of their party. Mm-hmm. They are both political showmen. And, you know, they have a certain history. You know, obviously, the 2016 Wembley debate in the EU referendum campaign and the fact that Ruth Davidson did back three other people for the Tory leadership other than Boris Johnson. And also, obviously, she is very much opposed to a no-deal Brexit, which puts her on a collision course. And Boris Johnson, by sacking David Mundell as the Scottish Secretary, who's a kind of close ally of Ruth Davidson, indeed, so close, we learned this weekend, that Ruth Davidson has kind of asked him to officiate at her wedding, has obviously set up a conflict there. I mean, there is a question here, which is this, which is, I mean, fundamentally, Boris Johnson's view is that once Brexit has happened, the Union is strengthened, but there is a reason why the SNP have always argued for independence in Europe. That any Brexit that said to the SNP, you've got to pick between the EU single market and the UK single market, would certainly strengthen the economic case for the Union. I think what Ruth Davidson worries about is that emotionally and politically, it would feel challenged. I do think it is worth noting on all this, which is, you know, despite the fact there was almost no Leave campaign in Scotland at all, you know, Tom Harris was the best known figure in Scottish politics campaigning for Leave. You know, Brexit still got 38% of the vote in Scotland, which is a remarkable achievement in a way, given there was almost no campaign. So, I mean, I think a little bit of perspective on how different Scotland's views on Brexit are than the rest of the UK is probably needed. But certainly, I think you and Boris Johnson want to knock on the head this charge that, you know, this is some kind of English nationalist government.
Katie, is it going to work to charm Scottish voters and Scottish politicians?
Well, I think potentially. I think what will be interesting is, I think it is a tightly controlled visit. I think what the SNP would quite like would be Boris Johnson to be heckled by voters who don't particularly like him. There is, interestingly, on Sky News, when a few months ago when they went to Edinburgh to Vox Pop about Boris Johnson. Now, they said that they couldn't find anyone to be positive. I'm sure if they stood there long enough, someone would have arrived. And perhaps it's bad luck on the day, but it just gave a glimpse of the fact that it is tricky sometimes with that. I think James is right to say that there is clearly a Brexit audience in Scotland. I don't think that the way that SNP paint the country is completely correct on the EU. And also, one of the big things is the Commons Fisheries policy. So there are lots of people in Scotland who are really unhappy with that arrangement, and they can see some very big positives to leaving the EU. And that's why, particularly in coastal areas, the Scottish Conservatives in some parts did do quite well, because you had fishing communities, or where they used to be very good ones, who wanted to get that back. So I think you can see how he could position himself for it. It's an interesting one, because speaking to Scottish Conservative MPs, I think there are some who just don't think Boris Johnson personally is ever going to be popular in Scotland. They don't think that he can do enough rallies and suddenly he's going to become their favourite politician. But they do believe that one way that they could do benefit from it, and we're hearing some funding announced today, is by Boris Johnson wanting to be liked, and therefore putting lots of money in the economy, and also taking measures on infrastructure and things. So I think there is a route to it, but I do think one of the good things about this visit is you don't want the SNP to be able to accuse him of hiding or, you know, staying out of the country because he's so unpopular. So I think that would probably be one of the things they're trying to do here.
And James, back in Westminster, Boris Johnson is kicking up no deal preparations and Brexit strategy. Can you tell us what he's doing?
So what we're going to see is basically a new cabinet committee with six members on it that is going to guide the Brexit strategy.
The war cabinet.
I think that's a trite phrase.
Thanks,
then
James.
I think that from the next question about this is this daily meeting that's going to be chaired by Michael Gove. It's essentially designed to get the government and the country as ready as possible by October the 31st for no deal. I mean, the big question about this is, at what point do, and you see the whole Boris Johnson strategy right now is to try and show the EU that he can make no deal a politically, logistically and economically feasible strategy, and then say, right, do you want to come and talk to us to try and avoid that? And one of the ways that you can try and avoid that is by discussing alternatives to the backstop. Yeah. That is essentially the Boris Johnson message to Europe that he's trying to telegraph in large letters. That's why when Dominic Raab was asked this morning about, you know, meetings of European leaders, he didn't try and say, oh, well, yes, Boris Johnson will be off to Paris, Berlin, Dublin and Brussels. You know, he's not saying that because he is trying to exploit the difference between bid and offer. He is trying to say to the EU, if you want to avoid no deal, you've got to come and talk to us.
And speaking to various government figures over the past couple of days, I think Boris Johnson's government is nearly a week in, and it's clearly a completely different step change. It's a different aim, and I think the atmosphere is very different. One of the big things is this is a government which is completely dedicated now to leaving at the end of October. And there was a briefing on Friday, there was a meeting where Dominic Cummings was speaking to number 10 officials, government aides. The message was clear, which was Brexit by the 31st of October by any means necessary. And I think it just tells you the level of focus. Now, the hope clearly is that by having that level of focus, and by also in turn looking more popular in the country, is one of the big hopes, they can show to Brussels they are serious and therefore Brussels should negotiate. But if they don't, you do not get the sense this is a Theresa May style government that will get near to that date and blink and therefore go for an extension unless they're completely forced into it.
So James, is this strategy going to work? Is Europe going to come to us cap in hand, or are we actually just heading for no deal Brexit?
I think an awful lot depends on, I don't mean the EU will take Boris Johnson seriously until he shows that he can overcome parliamentary opposition to no deal.
Right.
Because at the moment, the EU's view is essentially, basically the EU view falls into two camps at the moment, neither of which are great for him. One is, we don't need to make any concessions because parliament's going to stop it. You know, Philip Hammond, all these people who are constantly talking about stopping no deal Brexit will find a way. The other view is, even if they do no deal, it'll be so bad for them that it'll be over by Christmas, and they'll come crawling back. He's got to demonstrate that he can avoid both of these outcomes. That's why, ironically, given all the troubles they've had in recent years, the opinion polls are so important. His best way of looking serious is if it is clear that even in the extreme circumstance where Parliament forced an election, he would come back with his own personal mandate in the majority. You know, he did get a bit of a bounce this weekend. I think the bounce in some ways is not quite as large as it would have been. In interestingly, John Curtis was saying this at the weekend, the BBC pollster, because the Tories have basically been getting some of that bounce in the last 2 weeks anyway, as voters have essentially begun to assume not only that Theresa May is gone, but Boris Johnson will be the new Tory leader. I think if he comes back when in start of September, say, and the Tories are regularly polling at somewhere around 32-35, giving them a decent lead over Labour, then I think politics will feel very different. And at that point, the EU will actually have to make a decision. At the moment, I think the EU thinks it doesn't have to make a decision because Parliament is going to step in and do its work for it.
Right. James and Katie, thanks very much. And you can subscribe to this podcast through all the usual routes, and do let us know what you think. We'd love hearing from you. And if you'd like to subscribe to the magazine as well, it's 12 issues for £12 when you go to spectator.co.uk/voucher, and you also get a £20 Amazon voucher. Thanks for listening, and do join us again tomorrow.